Hey, welcome to Church on the Rock. Welcome to the 9 a.m. This is the first time we've officially been in two services when it is not Easter. And I want to thank you guys for being here and being a part of it. Jeremy, before you walk away too far, hit those lights for me, bro, so I can see everybody in this room. That's going to take a second because he's halfway down the hall. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. I'm glad you're here. Thank you for being a part of this service. I'm going to take a minute, though, before I get into the message today. And I want to look into the camera and I want to welcome every single person who is tuning in online. We have people from all over the country that faithfully follow us online, and I just want to thank you so much for participating and being a part of this church and being here with us. But I want to give a special welcome and a hello to my new friend Brady, who I had the privilege and pleasure to make my acquaintance last night. And bro, I just want to say what's up. You did an amazing job serving us. I want to thank you so much for being a part of this service today. Listen, everybody, he sacrificed going to the gym this morning in order to be with us online this morning. Give it up for Brady and everybody online. Thank you guys for being with us. It's awesome to have you. All right, listen, we're going to get into God's word this morning. Are you ready? If you're ready, say ready. Ready? There they go. All right. Listen, I want to kind of break you into what God is doing in this series. So we just ended a series that took us all the way through Easter, where every single Sunday, we took the time and we stood at the foot of the cross. We looked at Christ Jesus in great detail as he hung there, paying the penalty for our sin, carrying the weight of the sin of the world on his shoulders to pay the price for us that we could not afford to pay. If you missed any of that, I would recommend that you just go back on our website or our YouTube channel and just check it out for yourself. It was powerful. God was moving in that series in an incredible way. So here we go to Easter. Easter is like the big day, right? Like this is the day that people come to church when they don't normally go to church. And they show up and they'll worship because they got invited or because it's a tradition or whatever the case may be. Well, listen, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag, man. Jesus Christ gave the church this great commission to just communicate the hope that he has given to the world to all people. Man, this is what he said for us to do. And so knowing that people are coming to church on Sunday, the Easter Sunday, we're like, man, let's make a big deal. And we just make the most plain presentation of the gospel that we possibly can. But in that, okay, there's the reality that sometimes the Spirit of God does a powerful thing deep inside someone's heart, and they just recognize who Christ Jesus is. They have that revelation that he is the Messiah that died for them, and they just surrender all to him the way that many of us in this room have. But then there are other people that might be skeptical. They might push back a little bit. They may have it in their minds. It's like, I think they're saying to themselves, like, I know I need something. I'm just not convinced that Jesus is that answer. And so we just made an appeal to them last Sunday and just said, hey, we'd love to invite you back, and we're going to put together a four-part series, and it's called See for Yourself. And the same way that video, I don't know if you could hear it or not, the same way that video was playing, and the idea is like if you just come and you just walk with Christ Jesus, the invitation that he gives, so just come and be with me, here's what I'm convinced of, that you can't help it. You're going to see for yourself that he is who he says he is, and everything that you're looking for, you will only find in him and him alone. And so this is kind of the appeal. So here's what I want you to hear me say. I am not going to try to prove anything to anybody. I am just going to invite people to see for themselves that Jesus is who he says he is. If I was to sum up the 4 weeks that we're heading into starting today in one sentence, I would say it like this. Christianity is not something to be proven. It is someone to be encountered. I do not want you to connect to religion or spirituality. I just want you to engage with the living King of Kings, and his name is Jesus. And we sang that song that his name is above everything, right? And so that's the idea behind this series this morning. So here's what we're going to do, since we're starting a new thing. I just want to start all of this in prayer. Can we do that? Let's go before the Lord. Father, we just love you and thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to join together in this 9 a.m. service and hear your word. Here's what I believe, Lord God, that your word is truth, that you are truth. And so I just pray that every single one of us in this room, whether we are seeking you in the question of are you the answer, or whether we are already walking with you, my prayer, Father, in the name of Jesus, is that every single one of us, myself included, would encounter you in a new and a deepening way in our own walks with you. And I pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. So in this series, See for Yourself, we're going to go into a story that's found in the first chapter of the book of John, which is in the New Testament of your Bibles. We're going to pick up about midstream of a story. And we're going to jump right into this awesome moment where John the Baptist Jesus and some other people are all having sort of this encounter together. They are all sort of gathered together in this moment. John the Baptist, JTB, you know, as we like to call him sometimes. He's pretty awesome dude. He was pretty popular. He was leading a bunch of people, and he was baptizing people, and he really had kind of a reputation. At the point of this moment, Jesus is about to begin his public ministry. He's about to start calling some people to walk with him, and he's about to start teaching and investing into their lives, and then he would become the Jesus that the world knows today, that he would be the one that he eventually would go to the cross for our sins. So let's pick this up, John chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 35. The Bible says this: the following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. Verse 36, and as Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." This is the second time that he refers to Jesus as the Lamb of God. Verse 37, when John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus, which, by the way, is a little bit hilarious to me. It's like these two disciples of John, they're just hanging out with John, and then all of a sudden he's like, "Oh my gosh, there's Jesus right there." And they're like, "Cool, John, see ya." And they just leave and follow Jesus. It's a little bit funny to me. I don't know how John was feeling emotionally as a leader. Anytime people leave you, it doesn't feel good. And so I have no idea. Maybe he's thrilled, like that was the point. Yeah, please go. Or maybe he's a little disappointed. I don't really know. We won't read into it too much. Here we go. Jesus looked around and saw them following, and then he asked this question, "What do you want?" And you can read that a couple of ways. You can kind of like throw some tone in there if you want to. Like Jesus looks at him like, "What do you want?" I don't really think that's how Jesus did it at all, by the way. I really think that Jesus looked at them with the most compassionate and interested heart. And he's like, "What are you guys looking for? Like, what is it that you want? What are you trying to find?" And then they replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And I want you to notice the words of Jesus that he says, "Come and see." I want to pause right here for a moment, because what I really, really appreciate here is that Jesus didn't start with like a bunch of stuff they needed to go do. He didn't say, "Church is 9 a.m. on Sundays or 11. You can choose, but you need to be there." He didn't talk about groups. He didn't talk about serving others. He did not talk about giving. He didn't talk about all of the stuff that we associate to religion or church activity. He just simply said, "Well, just come and hang out with me." Essentially, he said, "If you want to be around me, the invitation is wide open. Come and see," he said. And it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and then they just went to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him for the rest of the day. Verse 40, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. And here it is right here. I want you to see verse 41. The first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon, and he tells him about Jesus. Now, I want to pause right there, because I think every single one of us, all of us, if you've ever had an experience of any kind anywhere that was good, you cannot help yourself, you tell people about it, right? You go to a great restaurant, and you want people to know, "Man, you should totally check this place out. Maybe the service is just over the top. Maybe the food is just cooked to perfection. Maybe it's a little of both, and you're just like, man, you totally got to go check out this place. It's amazing. Trust me, you're going to love it." You'll even specify. How many of you guys have ever done this? You've been like, "Bro, this is like a date place. You take your wife here, like on a date. All right, it's cool. It's a little pricey, but it's worth it. Just go there. Come on." We've all had those moments. Maybe you've had some sort of encounter with someone who's just amazing, and you can't help it, and you just want to be, "Oh my gosh, have you ever met so-and-so? No, oh my gosh, I got to introduce you. You're going to love them." We've all done it. And anytime we experience something that's powerful or positive or good, we can't help but to tell other people about it. And this is exactly what we see happening from Andrew. He encounters Christ Jesus. And as soon as he gets in his presence and he gets around him, he's doing what Jesus said, just come and see. And as soon as he goes and just hangs around with Jesus a little bit, he's thinking to himself, "This is too good for me to keep to myself, man. I am going to have to share this with others." And what he did is went to the person that he cared about probably the most, his brother. And he's like, "Bro, you gotta come. You have got to come and experience what I have experienced. You've got to come see what I have seen. You have to hear what I have heard. Trust me, you just have to see this thing for yourself," okay? And I want to point some things out right here, because this, by the way, is the reason why Church on the Rock decided we're going to move from one service to two. because we are picking up a mantra around here, and we're getting intentional around here about what we are calling our plus ones. Because listen, the room that we were meeting in at 10 a.m. 2 weeks ago was pretty full, and there was still a little bit of room, but we started to recognize that, like, we are running out of room, and we need to make a move in order to make sure that we make room for other people. And let me just say a few things. Can I just pause right? Can I just talk, like, church vision to my homies a little bit for a second? All right, listen. Listen, it would be easy for us to say, well, why would we go from one to two when there was still more room? And it would be easy for us to stay comfortable and stay settled and stay in the normal that we know. It's a stretch always to grow and to change. Right. You ever been to the gym? You go to the gym for the first time in like 2 years, it's New Year's resolution, and you're like, man, I'm getting fit this year, you know what I mean? And then you go to the gym, and you don't just start soft, man. You go in there, and you just kill it. You just kill everything. You work out your entire body. 90 minutes, you're in there, and you're just like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. The next morning, you can't even get on the toilet. You hurt so bad. You know what I'm saying? And it's like too much too fast. But anytime you stretch a muscle, there's a little bit of pain initially, and then come on, any of my gym rats know that eventually you get to the place where you're like, I wish I could get sore. I'm like trying to get sore. I want to feel the growth in my muscles. I want to push my body to a place, and the same is true in every other venue and avenue of our lives. If we stretch ourselves intellectually, it's going to be difficult at first. If we stretch ourselves physically, emotionally, spiritually, we are always going to feel the soreness of that muscle, air quotes here, initially, until that muscle gets used to the rhythm of what we do. Is that making sense? And so here's what we've decided. Nobody said yes, but I'm moving on. Here's what we've decided as a church is that we are just committed to fulfilling the great commission of Jesus Christ. And he said, I want you to just go and tell everybody. And when you connect them to encounter with me, I want you to help them grow in that relationship, you know, i.e. make disciples. Teach them what it looks like to walk with me. And we want to take this attitude and heart that Andrew took and make sure that we are communicating to others that Jesus is a life-changing relationship. He is. And so we did this for three reasons as a church. One service, we did it for three reasons. All right, I'm gonna give you three M's because I don't know if you know this, but if you start all your points with the same letter, it's more spiritual instantly, okay? The first reason is just mission, man. We're a church that is on a mission. We are not a club. We're not trying to be comfortable. We're not trying to just hang out with each other. All that stuff's good, man. I'm not saying that's bad. I want you to build strong, lifelong, lasting friendships. Like, I think that's part of being in the body of Christ. But, man, we still have to stay on our mission of reaching other people. Because I want you to think about the one person that you care about a lot, that you are unsure about their personal relationship with Jesus and where they stand in the dynamic of this real life and eternity. And I just want you to think, what would it take for me to help that person find the hope of Jesus that I have found? It's just missional. So we will always push ourselves to discomfort to follow the call of God on our lives as a church. Amen. The second reason is simply this, metrics. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. We look at stuff. We look at numbers and we have dashboards and we look at things. And our church was getting into this numerical place where we know that, man, like if we don't move, we're going to miss it. And this is our opportunity. And so we're just moving based on metrics. The numbers told us this is probably a good time to go. But here's the biggest reason, because this is not the first time since being in this auditorium at St. Augustine High School that the metrics said that we should do it. The two biggest reasons are mission and my third M, and that's move. Like, God is on the move here. Listen to me, because I'm going to preach in this series, and I'm going to preach in this series in a way that takes... I'm going to do everything I can to take all the credit off of our church and put it all on Jesus. Everything possible. I'm just going to tear down the name of the church and build up the name of Jesus. Respectfully, you understand what I'm saying? But it's this move. And I want to say something that I believe with everything on the inside of me. That we are experiencing as a church a real move of God among us. And what I love about it, it's not a leadership thing. It's not like, man, we sure got good leadership, and they know how to lead. And it's not just like a strategy thing. Like, man, that was a really nice strategy. And boy, you would be successful in any endeavor you put your mind to because you guys are a good team, and that's a nice strategy that helped us grow. No. Listen, I believe with all of my heart that we are just sitting in a move of the Almighty that supersedes all that other stuff. And I don't know why God has chosen to just do his thing among us. I honestly think it's because our hearts are postured properly. And the Bible says that a broken and a contrite spirit, he will not deny. That's what the Bible says. And I just think that because we have seriously, with all of us, have just gone before the Lord and said, God, we just want your will, not ours. And I think that God's like, awesome, because I want to do something in my people. And if you're willing to just give me the space and let me move, I'll just come and do my thing in you. And so the reason that we're doing these kinds of things as a church is because we say, God, we want what you want, not what we want. And we want you to move in people's lives like you've moved in our lives. And we want others to experience what we have experienced. So we will do everything you ask us to do, even if it's difficult, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it costs us something. God, we just want what you want. And here we are, church. Welcome to Church on the Rock. So if you are not a follower of Jesus that is willing to sacrifice in your journey of faith, we might not be your church, because we're going to call you to it. Yeah, I didn't think I'd get a lot of amens there, but I'm going to preach that. Amen. And so here we go. Andrew, the first thing he does when he encounters the life-changing power of Jesus, I got to go tell somebody. I got to go get somebody else connected to this. And then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. And this is awesome right here. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. And we get into a lot of cool things right here, because this is like the same Peter that had this revelation, like this life-changing revelation. Remember when Jesus was like, "Hey, what are people saying about me out there? What's the reputation of me? What's the word on the street about me?" And then they start answering the question, and they're essentially like, "Jesus, people think you're awesome." I mean, I'm paraphrasing a lot. But that's basically what they're saying. And then Jesus asks this really, really profound question. It's really the question. It's the same question that all of us have to give an account for. And he's like, "What about you? What do you say?" And then Peter, he says, "Well, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And remember what Jesus said? I know you remember because of our blueprint series that we did just a few months ago. And Jesus said, "Dude, you didn't think of that on your own. You're not that smart." I'm also paraphrasing. "But the Spirit of the living God has revealed that into you." And then Jesus says this profound thing. He says, "You are called Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church in a way that hell itself can't stand against." And it isn't, so when we get into all this stuff, and we can go into like all the little things where it's like, you know, he said, like, you're Peter, which means like Petra, or Petros, but on this rock, Petra, and all these, we can get on all that kind of stuff. By the way, church on the rock. Okay, right, yeah, it's all built there. The rock of Jesus, the revelation of who he is exactly where our name comes from. And it is the revelation that changes Jesus, changes Peter, and it is the revelation that changes you. It is the revelation that changes me. So church doesn't do it, Jesus does it. But what I want you to recognize here is that when Simon encounters Christ, Christ Jesus changes him. Sure, it's an external thing right now, but I'm going to call you something different, because names matter, words matter, and Jesus is super intentional, that I'm going to pivot you into a different direction, and I want you to identify yourself based on what I say, not what anybody else says. And identity is a thing that the enemy's stealing from a lot of people. And there's a lot of identity confusion in our culture and in our world today, and there's a lot of people that are trying to sort that out. And here's what I want to say, is that Jesus will give you a new identity. Jesus will change you. And I know some of you right now, if you're the skeptic, you're like, "Yeah, I don't know if I want that." Just stick around, because I think if you will see for yourself, you'll discover it's change you want. I really do. So when we encounter Christ Jesus in real, genuine ways, it changes who we are. He determines who we are. He sets our course. Verse 43. "And the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said to him, 'Come and follow me.'" Again, he's just inviting, "Just walk with me. Just come on a journey with me." And Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. And here we go, verse 45. "And Philip went to look for Nathanael, and he told him, We found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth. So once again, we have this moment where someone's experienced this true, genuine encounter with Christ Jesus. They're so modified and changed by it, they're compelled. I got to go tell somebody else. So he goes up and he decides, I got to tell old Nate, my good buddy Nate, I got to go tell him. And so he says, bro, all this prophecy we've been hearing about and all this stuff that's been happening, like, I'm telling you, I have met Jesus. You have got to come and meet Jesus too. He's in Nazareth. And then he pushes back. And I want you to recognize that sometimes people push back on Christ Jesus. The initial reaction is, I don't know about all this. And so Nathaniel's like, I don't know, man. And he says, Nazareth, exclaimed Nathaniel, can anything good come from Nazareth? I don't really, culturally, whatever, man. Little thing, we can get into that. But he instantly pushes back, like, can anything good come from there? And I love it, man. Here it is. Here's the point of the whole series. Philip replies, bro, just come see for yourself. I'm not going to try to convince you. I can't talk you into life change. Bro, I can't come and like convince you that Jesus is awesome or that he's real. I'm not going to logically talk you into a relationship with him. All I'm saying is you just got to come and experience him for yourself. And once again, we see this moment where a case isn't being made. It's not a debate. How many of you guys have ever debated somebody into a personal relationship with Jesus? I never have. I don't think it works all that well. But man, I'm telling you, when people encounter Christ Jesus, it modifies their lives forever. So these guys are just like, bro, we've experienced something. It's like taking you to the great restaurant. You just got to come. I can't explain how good the veal is. You just got to eat it, man. It's good. You're going to love it, right? So we're going to pivot right here. Because we have seen this example in Scripture of people encountering Christ Jesus and having like a change in their life as a result, okay? We have seen that result, that change has compelled them to tell others, which again, as a church, man, I heard an old preacher that I love to listen to from time to time say this one time, and I'm gonna say it exactly how he said it because I loved it the way he said it. He said, look, if you want Bible results, you have to do Bible stuff. That's what he said. I would love for Church on the Rock to just do Bible stuff and get Bible results. And so I want to take you to this moment with Jesus, also in John. We're going to go to John chapter 17. And here's Jesus, and he's praying. And he knows he's about to head to the cross, and Jesus, in this time of prayer, is praying for you. He's praying for me. Just go check it out for yourself. John chapter 17. Just read it. It's awesome. He's praying for us. And there's this one thing that he prays, one verse that I want us to just look at today. And he says this to the Father in his prayer. This is the way to have eternal life, to know, and I want you to hang on to that word know, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. So he's talking about himself. This word right here, I've talked about this before, but I hope that if this is your church home, that like this is a Greek word you're gonna know. Like you'll be like, yeah, man, our church talks about this all the time. My pastor, it's annoying, he says it all the time. I hope that's the things that you say about this right here. Because Jesus says this thing. The way to eternal life, Father, he's praying, is to know you. And the word that he uses here in the Greek is the word gnosko. And it isn't to know like intellectually, which I think a lot of people are trying to do. They're trying to intellectually understand a God that is outside of time and space. He's outside of the natural world that we see and that we, so it's like we have all these people trying to prove either God exists by science or prove that he doesn't by science. And it's like, yeah, but he is the science. Like it's an interesting thing, or try to fit him into timelines and all this stuff. It's like, yeah, but he's outside of time. And so here's what I would like to say with a lot of confidence, okay, is that God is bigger than you are. And I would suggest that if you are seeking to know and follow a God that you can fully comprehend on an intellectual level, I would say warning. Because I don't think any of us are that smart. And most of you are way smarter than me. Amen to that. These are people that know me. Come on. Man, I say it all the time, but it's real. Like, I'm just a ditch-digging construction dude born in the South trying to follow God. And here's what I love is I cannot figure him out. Because if I could, I would be remiss to think like, oh, I got him. And it's like, oh, awesome, Pastor Josh. Third grade level. That's a small God, man. That's just not how I want to live. But this word gnosko goes far beyond my mind. It is to know on a deep level. It actually would directly relate to intimacy. Don't let that freak you out, because it is not to imply like a sexual relationship. It is to imply the bond and the connection that a husband would have with his wife and the wife to her husband. It is to say that I know you like no one else does. To be intimate. Are you tracking with that? Because intimacy, closeness, is a thing we all long for. And we're all looking for it. Some of us in all the wrong ways and in all the wrong places. And so Lauren and I have taught this in marriage context, but we even tell married couples, they're like, don't confuse sex with intimacy. Can I just jump into another trail for a second? We'll come right back to gnosko. But don't confuse the two. Because you can have sex and have zero intimacy. And you can have intimacy and have zero sex. The beauty, husband and wife, is when you have them together. There's something unique about that. So for all you young people trying to play the field, come on, dudes. All you just trying to play the field and you're trying to look for a fulfillment out there in the next girl, you'll never find it, because that's not intimacy. And then for all those out there, like, can I just do a marriage thing right quick? All right. I don't have a whole lot of time. Let me just be fast. Husband and wife, listen carefully. Sex is super important to your marriage, and you should be having a lot of it. Thank you. You should. It is a lifeline to your marriage. But you should be aiming to have intimacy, to know each other. So everything, and I'm going to stereotype here for a second, okay, so just bear with me. I'm going to talk about generalities. But every time, ladies, that you emasculate your husband in any way, like diminishing the value of sex to him, like it's not a big deal, you're sabotaging your own intimacy. Anytime when he does something in the yard, and he's like, come on, baby, come look at this thing I did, man, it's pretty awesome. And then you walk out there and you don't care. Here's what he wants to hear you say. That's great. Wow, nice. Good job, babe. He does not want to hear you say, why didn't you make it face the other way? You're hurting. Don't do it, okay? All right. So here's the thing. I'm saying, in order to build the intimacy, make sure that he feels like a man. And when he pursues you, let him win sometimes, most times. Okay, conversely, men, listen to me, all right? Romance starts when the alarm goes off in the morning, all right? What she needs from you is she needs you to talk to her about stuff and about your emotions and how it makes you feel. And I know that you feel like, oh my God, I don't need all that. But bro, you need intimacy, not more sex. And if you would get vulnerable and just talk to her and be honest with her and let her in, and if you guys would have more, if you would have some conversation that you're not trying to get to a sexual place, eventually you're going to get to a sexual place, you'll do it a lot more often. What you'll establish in your marriage is intimacy, like a real powerful thing that no website, no girl jogging down the sidewalk, and no guy at the office that gives her the attention she wished that you would give would ever separate you two, because she'll have it in you and you'll have it in her. Okay, amen. All right. With that is this idea, because the word gnosko is a Jewish idiom that links to, it speaks directly to that intimate relationship, husband and wife. And Jesus prays, I want to know you like nobody else does, and I want you to know me, like deep. I want you to understand who I am like nobody else. Here's what I want to say in this, is that Jesus is not trying to get you to be a real good person. And he's not trying to get you to be a faithful church attender. And he's not trying to get you to connect to a small group or to serve on a team. He's not trying to get you just to tell people about him everywhere. All of those things are the results of gnosko. So I'll go one layer deeper. That you shouldn't be looking to the church or to a pastor for your like source of hope. And that you should be looking to Jesus and let the church support that. Because if you're looking at me, give it time. And you're going to figure out, like, that dude is not got it all together, and I will let you down. Why? Because I'm just a real guy. So sometimes I lose my temper, and sometimes I make poor decisions. And sometimes I willingly do things that I know I ought not do, and sometimes I willingly don't do things that I know I ought to do. Why? Because I'm a human being. And I know some of you guys are like, oh, my God, but bro, I'm just a real guy. But here's the thing. Inside of this real guy is a heart that has this deepening gnosko to my heavenly Father. And he works on those weak spots in me. And he gets in there and he's like, man, I want you to work on that. And I need you to apologize to that person. And I need you to pray about this. And I need you to put that away. I need you to pick that up. And you know what? I do it because not because I want to be a good boy. I do it because I just want to be. Like, I want to have an intimate connection to the truth that has set me free. And I think that people confuse the two. Like, I think the church can help you meet Jesus. But the church, don't pursue the church. Pursue Jesus. The church is here to help all that. So all the things we do, I buy into them. I believe in them. I've given my entire life to them. But it isn't the end all. Jesus is the end all. He wants you to know him. John 10:10. I'm going to push back here for a second as we close. I also believe, by the way, that there are people, they're afraid to encounter Jesus because they're afraid that he's going to take things away from them. Man, life's going to get boring. And I got to get religious. I got to put a fish sticker on my car. You know, whatever. Whatever it is. You're afraid to just lose things. But I want to show you something that is told us in John 10:10, that the thief, he comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Jesus said, I, however, have come that you would have life and life to the full, like a rich, satisfying life. And so if you're the skeptic, or if you're just the overly religious, I would like to push back on the idea that to walk with Jesus is to lose freedom or privilege or things. It is completely the opposite. To walk apart from Christ Jesus is to lose freedom. It is to lose things. It will always end in a bad place, but to walk with Jesus, he is the God who is constantly giving you life. And he just knows that if you just walk with me, I love you enough to just help you, to cause you to pivot. I love you enough to just draw you into my presence. If you will just come and experience me, you'll find the life that you have been looking for. And all the things that you're afraid, I'm going to say, you quit that and you cut that out. And you're going to discover when you come see for yourself that's just not who he is. I want you to imagine like the best father you've ever known, and he's way beyond that. I want you to imagine like your favorite person on earth and how awesome they are, and he's so far beyond that. He is a good father who wants to give good things to his children. And he says this, John 14, 6, we're nearly done. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And regardless of where you are in your journey with Christ, again, maybe you've accepted the invitation. You're like, I'm just here to see for myself. Maybe you've been walking with God for a long time. Here's what I know, is that we can always know him more. Gnosko. To know him in here. For him to know us and us to know him like no one else does. And I hope and pray that for those of us that have been walking with the Lord for a length of time, as we progress through this four-part series, that we would start dropping some of our, like, holier-than-thou, religious, sort of overly rigid things that aren't really in the character of Jesus at all. They're just more in the tradition of man. And when we do those things, we sort of rob the power of God to just be able to do what God wants to do in people's lives. I also pray that we would just know him and gnosko in a way that it just starts to shape us differently, where there are just certain things that it's like going to the beach. Come on, it works when you're on the east coast of Florida. You just go to the beach, right, on a warm, bright, sunny day. You just hang out there for a few hours. And when you go back home, you're going to recognize that your skin has probably changed a little bit, right? Depending on your skin type, it either just got a little more tan or just a little darker or maybe like super bright red, and it's like, don't touch it. It hurts, right? But here's the thing. When you went to the beach, you didn't do anything and you changed. You were just changed because you were in the sun. It's the same thing, man, in Jesus. You just get near him and there are just things that you're just going to change. You say, I wasn't even trying. You'll look back in your journey and you'll be like, man, I didn't even notice that I'm just different than I used to be. I'm more patient. I'm more compassionate. I don't say nearly as many wrong words or whatever. I like 312 in US 1. Come on, by faith in Jesus' name. Come on. We change. For the skeptic, my hope is that you would just discover that Jesus is not some rigid religion. It's not maybe some of the experiences that you've had with Christian people, churches. But he's perfect in every single way. And he wants to give you life. So all the emptiness that you sense and feel on the inside, he is the only source of hope for that emptiness. And he says in John 8:32, because he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he says this, you'll know, guess what that word is? Gnosko. Not know the truth, but to know the truth. And what's the truth do? Jesus, he sets you free. Freedom is found in Jesus. And next Sunday, we'll tunnel into the idea of freedom a lot more. Here's the question we're going to answer next Sunday. The question is this: free from what? We'll answer that next Sunday. Would you stand all across the auditorium? Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. I want to invite you into a moment of decision. I want to invite you to just kind of look on the inside of yourself for a moment. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never made a decision to trust Jesus with your life. And if that's you, I'd love to invite you to make that decision right now. I'm telling you, it is the greatest decision you'll ever make. Maybe this morning you just experienced him in a way like never before. So every head bowed, every eye closed. Here's what I would love to ask. If you're here today and you say, man, that's me. You just believe, all of a sudden it's like you got it clicked. And you just recognize, man, I think that the sacrifice that Jesus made on that cross counted for me. I think that he is good and that he wants to give me life and he wants me to know him in a way like I've never known him before. And you say, man, I need to step in to a personal relationship with Jesus. Would you be super bold and just raise your hand right there where you are? Just right there. Just say, that's me. Count me into this prayer. All right, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to invite you to say this prayer after me. I want you to say these words because this is a very simple prayer. Nothing special about this prayer. What's significant is what's happening in your heart. And maybe you're online this morning. You're like, yeah, man, this is me. I want to know God that kind of way. To gnosko Jesus. I want to know him on the inside in a deep and intimate way. This is your moment. So I want to invite you to repeat this prayer after me. I want you to say, dear Jesus, I give you my life. All of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, 9 a.m. I need you to wake up. Put your hands together a little bit. Congratulate those that made that decision this morning.